Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
So if you're a Miami fan, maybe that's the connection. I don't know. But we appreciate you kicking us off this morning. Pastors Rod and Val send greetings. This morning, we have a picture of them in Colorado. I thought maybe they send us a picture of them outside in the snow. If you're on social media with Val, there are some pictures posted, and there's a lot of white stuff on the ground there. But what a joy they're experiencing being able to spend time with two of their children and the grandchild. Man, who has grandchildren in here? Aren't they wonderful? You know, grandchildren are the reward for not killing your own kids. In case you haven't thought about that, that's exactly what it is. But they send greetings this morning. They're probably logging on right now with a lot of our church family who are going to watch the service online. So if you're watching and listening, we welcome you here by technology, and we look forward to seeing you back soon. Again, I'm so glad each of you are here. Man, last week, where's Barry? Barry's sitting out here somewhere. Barry, I'm going to tell you, I love to hear Christmas messages from a little different perspective. You know, it's always good to hear about Jesus in the manger and things, but man, just the right time. The way you brought that word to us last week, just so timely. And I think it's something that wouldn't hurt us to hear all through the year. It is just, man, what a timeless message. And if you didn't get an opportunity to see it, if you don't know, all of our messages are online. There's podcast and Podbean and all that stuff that if you're a little bit younger than me, you might understand. But you can go to the church's website and you can find the message from last week or any previous message that if you've missed it, you can watch. So before we get started, I want to help us to be able to concentrate this morning. So it's confession time. Who ate too much this week? Who struggles with lying? Let's just say a lot of us ate too much and get that over with so we don't think about it. But on a more positive note, who just was so blessed this week by just stories you've heard, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, just hearing the heightened awareness of God's presence this week. So maybe that'll help you be in a little better frame of mind and thinking about what you ate this week. So let's pray and get into God's Word. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you that this last Sunday of 2020, we can look to your Word to help put some things into perspective. God, give us your eyes and your ears as we dive into your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. As 2020 comes to an end, we're going to take a few minutes and talk about how to finish strong. I think it's important that we don't just let the year go by and say, well, 2020 was just a loss. 2020 is almost over. Don't ever want to think about it again. I'll be the first to admit some things are very different in 2020. If we had the time to go around the room, I'm sure all of us could give personal experiences or stories from people we know that something in 2020 did not go the way we would like for it to have gone. There are some things that we had control over that didn't go well because we didn't do what we needed to do. And there are a lot of things that didn't go well for people in 2020 that were well out of our control. So let's talk about these things. You know, as a little bit of a side note, it's important to recognize what we can control and what we cannot control. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the list of things I can control gets smaller and smaller. Anybody else feel like that? When you're younger, you think you're in control of the world. You know, 2 years, 20 years, 50 years later, we find out that we aren't in control as much as we would like to be. So I'm going to read this to you and see if you relate. If we try to control things or people we can't control, or if we don't take responsibility for the things we should take responsibility for, we set ourselves up for frustration. Let's not fall into that trap. Let me read that again. If we try to control things or people we can't control, or if we don't take responsibility for the things we should take responsibility for, we set ourselves up for frustration and very likely for failure. And that's not a fun place to be. Just that statement right there may be why some of you are here today. If, man, can you just imagine? I know how different my life would be if I got things on the right column, on the right side of the paper. So maybe you needed to hear that today. The text we're going to look at today comes from the book of Philippians. But before we look at the text, I want to give you a little bit of background. If you're familiar with the book of Philippians, specifically this passage, you may or may not have realized that the emphasis on relationships. The whole Bible is about relationships, but we're going to look at the relationships in this passage. On his second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul helped start the church in the city of Philippi, hence the Philippians. And the local church continued to support Paul with their material possessions, their money, and by supporting him with their prayers and other ways throughout the rest of his ministry. They even assisted him while he was in prison. So he wrote a letter to the Philippians, the church of Philippi, thanking them for their support. He wrote this letter while he was in prison. Now, man, if you've thought about giving up any time in 2020, don't raise your hands on this one. But I don't know if any of you found yourself in prison this year. It may have been the cell bars, the steel bars. It may have been another type of prison that you created for yourself or somebody else created. But when you're in prison, is your first thought to thank people that support you? I don't know. Maybe you're a little more spiritual than I am, but that may not be my first thought. So this letter that he wrote to the church in Philippi is what we know today as the book of Philippians. If there was ever a time in this world that we need to hear this, it's now. You know, Paul knew he still had a lot of work to do, but he was in prison and for things he hadn't done anything wrong. So if you've got lots of plans, if you think God's not through with you, and let me tell you, if you woke up with a heartbeat this morning, God is not through with you. So whether you were to wake up tomorrow and you're in a physical prison or you're in some other undesirable circumstances, don't give up. God is not through with you. So let's pick up in the first chapter with verse 3. We'll read a lot of scripture to start off, and then we're going to look at some of it a little deeper. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ Jesus. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. You know, I almost feel like I just need to pray and let's go home. If you didn't get something out of that, wow, person next to him, nudge him a little bit. Make sure they're maybe check their pulse, because that passage right there is so full and so rich. Can you imagine being part of the church in Philippi and finding out Paul is in prison and get this letter with these words? I mean, if it were me, I would expect to hear something like, need y'all's help. You know, I'm in a bad place. Don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I know some, y'all have helped me in the past. I hope you're still going to stick with me. No, just the joy that is just permeates this whole passage is just so exciting for me. You know, if you look around this room, we're a pretty diverse group of people. Some are younger, some are older, We won't define young and old. We'll let you determine that. Some are single. Some are married. Some are parents. Some are grandparents. Some are in school, students. Some have jobs or careers. I think you get the point. We don't take much for us to look around and find that we're different. In each of our roles, we have responsibilities in life. It doesn't matter our age or what we're going through. They vary from person to person and from family to family. Again, with Harlan and Rachel, their schedule's a little different than Candace and I's as empty nesters. We're not feeding babies very often and chasing after teenagers who always do exactly what you want them to do. We know you're blessed in that way. But our responsibilities may vary from family to family and person to person. But whether it's at work or at school with classes and projects, we all have responsibilities and things that we need to finish well. We need to finish strong in these areas. But you know, sometimes there are things that can hinder us from finishing strong, from finishing well, from completing things. Maybe some previous experiences. You know, that history is our past. It can be there all the time. How about disappointment in other people or ourselves? Discouragement. Lack of commitment. I promise this is going to get better in a little bit. Lack of commitment. How about a virus or a pandemic? Again, one of those things that's on the list of things we're not in control of. How about a local or national election which didn't turn out as you hoped? And that's real. But more importantly, what we do with that. Doesn't matter which side you're on, what we do with that. And our past failures. This can be a big one. You know, I think the devil likes to bring up things in our minds a lot. And I think he's got this special area he keeps, our past failures. And he's got some of this other stuff over here. But our past failures, he keeps them real close to him so that he can throw those up in our face. If you're familiar with John Maxwell, we have a quote from him. He's one of the greatest leadership teachers that I've ever read. Pastored for many years. It says, the difference between average people and achieving people is their perception of and response to failure. There are only two kinds of people that never fail. People that aren't with us anymore and people that don't do anything. If you do something in life, you're going to fail. Again, real encouraging so far this morning, right? We're going to fail. Let's look back at Philippians 1:6. Rest assured that no circumstances can cancel what we read in this verse. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So look at that verse. Who is this writing again? Apostle Paul. He is certain that God, who began the good work within you, I didn't begin a good work within me. You didn't begin a good work within me. In this sense, my parents didn't begin a good work within me. God did. Will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. It doesn't sound like it may happen today. We won't take all the time we could to define what it means, the good work within you. There's a lot of things that encompasses. So no matter how powerful or in control you think you are, God is still the one in control. You aren't big enough to change something God wants to do. He gives us free will. He allows us to make our choices. But if God wants to accomplish something, you're not big enough to keep him from accomplishing it. I don't know if any of you think you are. If you are, we'll let you talk to one of the elders or somebody after service to kind of help put that in perspective for you. I know I'm not. To live a life of significance, important success, to finish strong, it is important to surround yourself with the right people. Man, it's so exciting to see you here this morning. A lot of people traveling, a lot of stuff going on during the holidays. when we take time out of our schedules to be here on Sunday morning, the message is great. But what happens before the message? You know, Harlan sees it. Man, trying to get y'all to gather around is, man, sometimes it's like herding cats. But it's for a wonderful reason. Because you love each other. You're catching up during the week. You're asking, how did that test come back? Is your son or your daughter still doing okay? Who's traveling? You know enough about each other to have meaningful conversations. You're not just saying, oh, it's cold today. Oh, it's a little cold in Florida today. You're having deep, meaningful conversations because you're around people. So it's important to be around the right people. Don't underestimate the impact people can have in your life when you fail. There's also a really good book out on the market if you're ever interested in it. It's called Failing Forward. Again, we're all going to fail. Do we fail backwards and not get up? Or do we fail forward, learn from it, and moving forward? So how do you surround yourself with the right people? This is great. I love this. The kids. John, when your daughter comes out of kids' church back there, she's excited, isn't she? If you're wanting to sleep in a little bit, doesn't she get behind you and tell you we got to go to church? Yeah, right. She loves to be in there on Sunday mornings because don't just think it's the adults out here. The elementary and young teenagers that are in there, they're building these relationships too. It's important the people we surround ourselves with. Small groups, men's groups, guys to get together for coffee, ladies to get together for coffee, Christian friends who will tell you the truth, even if it's not what you want to hear, who will encourage you, pray for, and with you. And you know, another aspect of finishing strong is sorting out our priorities. Remember what Paul was going through when he wrote the letter to the Philippians. He was in prison, but man, did he stay focused. He had his priorities where they needed to be. He stayed focused and didn't get distracted or let his circumstances rearrange or distort his priorities. You know, throughout the years, I've spent considerable time with people on their deathbeds. You know, people that knew they were in their last hours, last days. They knew their time here was on earth. Both with Christians, people that knew the Lord and knew where they were going and were happy about it, and some that were living in fear because they just didn't have that understanding. And I've never heard somebody on their deathbed say, man, I wish that car in the parking lot was newer. I wish the house I'm never going back to was bigger. I wish I had more money in the bank. I wish I had worked more hours. Wow. Sorry. Didn't mean to stomp on your toes. I just want to step on them a little bit. But on a couple of your faces, that might be one that we look at. But people's deathbed regrets are always, I hope, and you put the name or the title on it, I hope my wife or my husband knows how much I love them. I hope my kids know how much I love them. I hope my grandkids know how much I love them. I hope my neighbor that I invited to church so many times and shared Christian Bible verses with knows I wasn't trying to beat them up. I love them. That's why I do these things with them. So keeping our priorities straight can have a little impact in our day-to-day lives. But when we're looking at big picture, man, keeping our priorities straight is huge. So as Christians, the ones of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, what is our ultimate priority? What is our ultimate goal in life? You know, Revelation 20:15 tells us this. It should be for our name to be written in the book of life, for our families and friends' names to be written in the book of life. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Nope, not going there. It's not where I want to go. It's not where I want my kids to go, my grandkids, you, my other family and friends. You know, this is a great time to do another little plug for our legacy course coming up, starting January 20th. It's a big focus on finances there, but it's so much deeper than that. We're going to talk about what are some things that your grandparents or your parents instilled in you as human beings that you want to pass on to your kids and grandkids? What are your values, your goals, your vision for your kids? For ones of you that have unmarried, single children, are you praying now for their spouse? May not know who they are. You know, God's got the perfect mate for Gracie. Gracie's probably the youngest one in our congregation. I know Dad shakes his head. Trust me, she's yours for a little while. And then you're going to allow some other man to have some influence in her life. But even a child as young as Gracie, our children, we should be praying for them now, for their safety, for their health, for their career, for their mate, for their children. What was in this song we just sang? Talking about generations and generations and generations. You know, the Bible talks very clearly about generational curses and generational blessings. There are a lot of things we can perpetuate in our lives to the next generations. We have a lot of say-so in whether that's good or bad. So again, the legacy course, please don't think it's about just coming and making a lot of money or just getting your will written. Yes, it's going to help us on that journey, but it's about so much more, about passing on our legacy to the next generation. Again, if you want more information or you want to sign up, please sign up at the Connect Corner at the end of the service. Let's talk a minute about not living in the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So I had a senior pastor for many years, Dr. Jim Wall. And man, he was so practical with his teaching and taking what the Bible says and just putting things in my mind and so many other people's minds that just really helped me remember things. So if you think of your life like driving a car, I've seen some of you drive. Most of you drive very well. But if you think of your life like driving a car, we have two main things in front of us. We have a rearview mirror, and we have a windshield. What's the rearview mirror for? It's to glance in to see what's in our past. It's important to know what's in our past so that we don't repeat those mistakes or if there's a problem coming up. But what happens if we focus only on the rearview mirror while you're driving forward? Things aren't going to turn out real well. We need to focus on the windshield. That's what's in front of us. That's our future. That's what's ahead of us. That's what God still has for us to do in the rest of our lives. And again, we said, if you woke up this morning with a pulse, you know, your journey may be shorter than the person next to you, or you may have 100 years left on this earth. I don't know. God knows. I don't know. But whatever you have left for you, it's in the windshield. It's not in the rearview mirror. So if you start feeling bogged down by the things in the past, take your focus off the rearview mirror and look into the windshield. In Philippians 3, 12 through 14, just a few verses past what we read a few minutes on, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possess me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. So you take my silly little car analysis, and that may mean something or to you. This is right here in the scripture. We don't focus on the past. We focus on what's ahead. And you know, one of my favorite verses, and I could work this into every message I preach. I probably do. You probably say, oh, he's going to use that one again. But Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. We have different levels of authority in our life. We have supervisors. We have managers. We have CEOs. We have leaders. We have parents, we have wives, right, Jerry? We have wives, we understand that. Oh, James. Well, with these three guys sitting here, it could have come from either one of you. So that's great. And yes, we do things to please them, and we follow their direction. But ultimately, who do we work for? We work to please the Lord. If you keep that in perspective, things will go much better. So we're just 4 days away from January 1st. Next week, we're going to talk more about how to start off the new year. And maybe, you know, give you a little insight. I don't do resolutions. That whole concept set up to, you ask somebody a week, an hour, 3 months down the road, and they may not even be able to remember their resolutions. We're going to talk about setting goals, and not in a formal way like, get your pen and paper out. You got to have three goals because somebody said you have to have three goals. We're talking about setting our course for our life. If you are down at Flagler Beach about 6 o'clock New Year's morning, you'll probably see me unless we have just some of the worst weather you've ever seen in your life. I'll have my beach chair. I'll have my Bible. I'll have something to record thoughts on. I'll probably have a hoodie. I may have a blanket. I don't know. But from the tradition I've started since we moved to Florida, it's not on the boardwalk. It's down sitting on the sand. Just something about God's creation of the beach and the ocean and watching the sunrise. And even if it's a very cloudy day, you can still tell when the sun rises. That's just something. Is it magical? No, it's not magical. But is it meaningful to me? Yes, because it's like the very first day of the year, God's starting a new day, something new starting. So I would encourage you to think of something. Could all bring your chairs and line up down the beach? Or it may be on your lanai with coffee. Or it may be in your bed with the electric blanket on. I don't know. But just something, I would encourage you to set time aside early in the morning. So that means if you have to leave for work at 7, start at 6. Go to bed at 9 instead of 10. I don't know. Start the first day of the new year with some dedicated time to hear from God. It's been so meaningful for me, and I think it will be for you too. I'm also very excited about reading through the Bible together. We've got a slide here that shows some of you are very technology-oriented. The YouVersion Bible app on the phone, there are many Bible reading plans in that app. But if you go to this picture, that link on the website, thank you, Lisa, for having that up there, and right on the front page, making it very easy to see. If you click that, it will take you to the Bible reading plan. You create a little account to where you keep up with it. And us going through the Bible together in unity this year, I believe is God's going to do some things in and through us that are going to impact us personally, impact us as a church, and impact Flagler Beach way beyond what we could ever imagine. So, I promised myself I wouldn't keep everybody too long today. I have exactly no idea what that means to a preacher, but to me it meant less than normal, whatever that means. So, as we get ready to wind down and conclude our final Sunday together in 2020, our final Sunday together in this building in 2020, let's take a practical step to leave in 2020 what needs to stay there. If there are things in your life that are present now that you do not need to take into 2021 with you, we're going to help you with that a little bit. So look in the seat pocket in front of you. If you're on the front or the back rows, Jerry and some folks have some index cards. There's an index card in all of the seat pockets. I would like everybody to pull their index card out. Hold it up. I've got mine. See, however long it takes people to do this is how long the service will last. It won't be my fault. Yeah. There's also a pen in the seat pocket there. I would like for you to take just a minute. Do it by yourself. If you're married or have a close friend with you that can help you with it, if you need input, they can help you with it. But I want you to write something on that card. It can be one word. It can be a phrase. Let me help prime the pump a little bit. It could be a bad attitude. It could be a negative attitude. It could be a critical spirit. That is not a spiritual gift, by the way. Critical spirit. It could be unforgiveness. It could be a bad habit. It could be sin. You're not exactly sure what that is? Turn back Exodus 20, the list of about 10 biggies there that'll help put some things in perspective. It could be a bad attitude about obeying or respecting parents. It could be that you're in an abusive relationship, physically or emotionally, mentally. How about worry? You know, we joke about a little bit in our family, there's a few people that have the worry gene. You know, we're going to worry about anything that could happen because it might happen, but probably won't happen. You know what you need to write on that card. So we're going to take just a few minutes and be very practical about this. After you've written what you need to write on your card, there are four shredders in the room. There's one here. There's one here. There's one under the banner on that wall. And there's one under the hope sign on that wall. Write what it is on that card. I want you to get up out of your seats. And I want you to go to one of the shredders. You can social distance if you need to. And I want you to shred that card. She's going to play a song while we do this. Come on. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. That's fine. I'll tell you about that in a minute. If you're watching this message online, you can use pen, paper, napkin, whatever, and write something down. And if you don't have a shredder, tear it up in little tiny pieces. Anybody else? Good question was asked, where is mine? You've heard Pastor Rod say many times that as you're preparing a message, I've been working on this for about a month, that God gives us opportunities to experience and to live out the message. Shredded several cards this past week. Several. So it's been very, I won't say anything was a surprise, but it's been eye-opening. And maybe it may be a reminder. So I hope as you did that, that wasn't just an exercise to stretch your legs because your foot was going to sleep. I hope that meant something. And I'm going to tell you, this will be my tendency in 2021 will be mentally getting the pieces of paper out of the shredder and putting them back together. If you try to do that, if you try to take into 2021 the thing or things that you've just shredded, remember, they don't exist anymore. They're in the past. Maybe something that you can just flip a switch and you're done. May take a little work. Again, it's why it's so important to have the right people around you, the relationships. When Paul was in prison, he had the right people in his life. As we work on these things, we need the right people in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. God, I personally thank you for what you've done in my mind, in my heart, on this journey.